Don't worry, we're going to come back to that. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, we continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke, looking for some of Jesus' best advice for living faithfully in turbulent and unsteady times. So far, we've heard three parables, and we've received three pieces of advice. No one gets left behind, make room for mistakes, and invest in community. Today, we are skipping ahead a couple chapters to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every single day, with one simple question, we all wade into an emotional minefield. I thoroughly enjoy exploring this particular minefield, but it is full of surprises nonetheless. The question I'm thinking of is one we ask constantly without even thinking about it. We ask it of our dearest friends and perfect strangers. And we usually don't expect an actual answer. But we ask anyway, because it's so ingrained in our social consciousness that it seems rude not to ask. When we're asked this one simple question, we often respond on autopilot, not even actually stopping to think about what the true answer might be. Even if we do, we don't usually share the whole truth with one another, except in very specific circumstances. Especially when our nation is so fraught, so conflicted, so anxious, this one question can open up a can of worms the size of Texas. Have we figured out yet what the question is? Yeah. How are you? How you doing? How's it going? Here in the U.S., at least, most people will compulsively reply with, "Good, you?" Even when we're feeling far from good. Even when the question is sincere and the person actually sticks around to wait for the answer, we still calculate in our heads, how much do they really want to know? With this one four-sentence story, Jesus invites us into a different kind of life and a deeper kind of prayer, where we can be brutally honest with God, with ourselves, and with one another, to say, "I'm not okay. We're not okay. This is not okay. Do something." While we might call it a breakdown, or screaming into the void, or crashing out, in the Christian tradition, this kind of radical honesty in prayer is called lament. In his book on the Psalms, theologian Walter Brueggemann writes, "The lament psalms, in particular, are the telling of all our secrets to God. The hidden, dark, painful, needy secrets that we prefer not to have or acknowledge. The Psalter exhibits an awareness that well-being depends on truth-telling. The kind that draws God into the worst parts of life in the insistent expectation that God can make something new. The Psalms have been for millennia the prayer book and song catalog of God's people. But as we heard this morning, the Psalms are not all sunshine and rainbows. Psalms of lament are examples of prayers that not only complain to God about particular circumstances, but demand that God act. Save us, help us, bring justice. There are a handful of Psalms that take this brutal honesty and demanding God's action one step further. Scholars call them the imprecatory Psalms. And Psalm 109, which BJ read for us, is one of those. These are prayers of unbridled rage, anger, complaint. These are prayers that call down curses on the writer's enemies, that ask God to wipe them from the face of the earth, that demand God's wrath be poured out. They're not nice psalms, like Psalm 133, which we sang together, how very good and pleasant it is to live in unity. They're not comforting, like Psalm 23. They do not encourage us to rise above, to take the high road. They're kind of terrifying to our modern ears, because we think, you're not supposed to talk to God like that. You're supposed to love your enemies and not ask God to curse them. Christians are supposed to be nice, calm people. You can't say stuff like that out loud. In an ideal world, we would always respond to the horrors of the world around us with composure, compassion, justice, and love. But the imprecatory Psalms remind us that we are indeed human. And sometimes, before we can be all that we are supposed to be, we need to work through our real, actual feelings and our real, actual needs. When we lament, God invites us to bring our whole selves in prayer, entrusting to God even our deepest hatred and darkest rage at the most broken parts of our lives and our world. Why? Because God can handle it better than we can. But also because when we tell the truth, when we bring the depths of our souls into the light of day, we can work through it and move on to those better things. There's a poem by Blythe Baird that has been a favorite of mine for a long time now. It's titled Theories About the Universe. I think about this poem quite a bit when I'm not sure that what I'm asking God for is actually the best option. Or perhaps even when I know that it isn't, but I want it anyway. The poem goes like this. I am trying to see things in perspective. My dog wants a bite of my peanut butter chocolate chip bagel. I know she cannot have this because chocolate makes dogs very sick. My dog does not understand this. She pouts and wraps herself around my leg like a scarf and purrs and tries to convince me to give her just a tiny bit. When I do not give in, she eventually gives up and lays in the corner under the piano, drooping and sad. I hope the universe has my best interest in mind, like I have my dog's. When I want something with my whole being and the universe withholds it from me, I hope the universe thinks to herself, silly girl, She thinks this is what she wants, but she does not understand how it will hurt. There are so few details in this parable that Jesus tells. We don't know what the widow's issue was. We don't know who her opponent was, or even what she was actually asking the judge to do. We don't know why the judge didn't care. We do know that she was persistent. And that persistence is what she's commended for. Jesus says, listen, if this judge who does not care about anyone or anything, if he can be annoyed into listening and acting, don't you think that God, who does care for you, who does care about the well-being of the world, who is fundamentally just and merciful, don't you think that God will be ready to hear you and help you? So we bring our lament, our complaining, our demands to God, and we work through all of that in prayer. But there's more to this little parable, because the widow did not simply pray for God to change her circumstances. She acted persistently and loudly, demanding justice. Jesus reminds us that prayer is always tied to action. We pray for justice and work for justice. We pray for God's will to be done, and we do our very best to help God's kingdom come alive on earth as it is in heaven. When we translate our prayer to action, lament becomes protest. Persistent prayer becomes persistent demands that the people with the power to change things do something. Our vision of God's perfect and eternal kingdom becomes policy proposals that focus on the well-being of people. That same theologian, Walter Brueggemann, in one of his other books titled Reality, Grief, and Hope, says that the prophetic tasks of the church are threefold: to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, to grieve in a society that practices denial, and to express hope in a society that lives in despair. If your truest, most honest answer to how are you goes something like, or, then I have good news, because you are already halfway there. You see what is broken, and you care enough to say something. Perhaps the most difficult part of lament is hope. Believing that the world story does not end with apathy and a shrug. We are steeped in doom and gloom and a fundamental sense of powerlessness in the face of powerful people who do not seem to care what we want. But the widow shows us another way. Lament demands that we believe something more, something better is not only possible, but that God is calling, moving, equipping us to help make it happen. That kind of hope requires trust, believing and acting as though God is indeed at work within us, among us, and through us, still doing the work that Jesus called his own, bringing good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. Friends, making space to say, this is not okay, to tell the truth, to believe that we can make change, that is perhaps the most radical and necessary assignment that we as the church could have in these days. So, beloveds, go lament loudly and persistently, in prayer and with action, that we might help bring justice to a world sorely in need of it. Amen.